Feels great to be on a seven-day schedule because it really gives you 2 weeks to go into an in-season flow. We've actually made some adjustments to our in-season schedule coming out of last year. So we went with the traditional in-season schedule this past week. We're going to go with the new one this week. So, yes, there will be some adjustments. Frankly, just watching the tape with the staff, we have a lot of work to do. Still got a lot of things to get done. So we're actually going to move. I don't know if everybody's received the email already, but we're going to move our Wednesday in-season practice schedule back as far as the practice time. So that'll be on Tuesday, you know, different than on Wednesday. So Tuesday's practice will be a little later than normally that was previously scheduled, and so will Wednesday's, and that will be in line with our new in-season schedule. So it gives us a full week to go through all this. Where tomorrow is technically the players' day off, which will be a game plan day for the staff. But yes, it's what you like. You're always looking for regularity, you know, with the schedule going into the season. But as we know, it's training camp, so we still have to get all the fundamentals, the drill work, the combination drills, and try to tailor to the things that we feel strongly that we need to work on coming out of this last game.
Is your in season end of the week similar to the Friday stay day, the Saturday?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, Mike, what'd you think of after you watched the film of how your second and third offensive line groups played?
Thought the second and offensive line group definitely improved, and that was the overall assessment. I thought we did a number of good things. We had some individuals that had some tough moments. Offensively, our mental errors were too high. That was the negative of our overview, and it's 2 weeks in a row. But the other areas of focus, not only on the offensive line but throughout the offense, we improved in those areas.
Is Dean Lowry going to be out a while?
I really don't have any medical information for you. We're still going through that process. So as far as Dean and any other guys, we have a lot of players being looked at, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. That'll also factor into, you know, Tuesday's practice being a little later and what all we need to get done because, you know, we still have the training camp emphasis that we want to accomplish and pads, and we got to look at our numbers.
Mike, you know, after the game, Aaron made a comment, you know, I think you guys know how I feel about preseason or something like that. What are all the good things that come out of playing him last night? I'm assuming you see a number of positives that come out of having him play in the second game. What do you think, what are all the good things that came out of last night with him playing?
He's a leader. He's a leader of your football team. He's a leader of your offense. He's the quarterback position. Everything that we do from an offensive perspective goes through the quarterback position. This system is designed on making the quarterback successful, starting with running the football. I thought we had very good run-pass balance in the first series. Overall in the game, I didn't get the ball ran enough. We had 29 rushes. 20 of them were carries. The other 9 were from the quarterbacks. So, but he gets the whole thing started. So the ability to play with that tempo, to play a 15, 16 play drive, to stress, you know, not only the defense, but to stress yourself, the conditioning and all those things. And that's, you know, clearly a reflection of Aaron being in the game.
So the biggest bonus is for the other 10 guys or however many other guys you rotate in. Then, because he always, you know, he says he could be fine if he didn't play any in the preseason. But it's more the benefit to all those other guys around him being with him, right?
Correct. It's a team game, and obviously it's the best thing for the team. That's why we make those decisions.
How could these guys ever tune you out, Mike? But when you drive home the fundamentals like tackling and breaking tackles, and then to see that happen, I mean, how satisfying is it that these guys are really taking those messages to heart? Better.
Well, it's part of the plan. It's part of the progress, and every year you have to move forward as a team through training camp to get to where you want to be to compete in a regular season. So it's a must. It's not a want-to, and that's the way we've always gone about it. So we still have a lot of work to do. It isn't like we come out of last night's game and say, hey, we got everything fixed from the first game. I mean, that's not practical, and that's clearly not our message. So. But, yeah, it's, you know, Tuesdays and Wednesdays practice are probably our biggest practices of the training camp because you know what's coming after that. So, but the opportunity to go back-to-back padded practices and stress the team, really have heightened fundamental work, and the combination periods are very important. And this is the only time of year you can get that done.
After watching the film, what did you think of how the young running backs looked last night?
Running back group did some really good things. I'm looking more at the specifics and fundamentals, things that were heightened in week one that we maybe could have did a better job, and clearly showed up last night. I thought our run decisions were better, still not good enough. I thought the pass protection, as far as the opportunity when a pressure situation occurred, you got the gap integrity of how the defense is rushing, and we refer to that particular situation when a door opens for a rush lane, a linebacker or looping defensive lineman comes through, you have to get up there and close the door. We did that a couple times, which is a really good thing for any running back, particularly when you see your young guys learning from what they did in the past. So I thought they did some good things there. I thought run after contact was better this week than last week. So, yeah, they definitely took a step.
Hey, Mark, when you look at the undrafted free agents that you had from a year ago, Bryce Evans, I think Josh Hawkins gets in, what kind of growth have you seen from them so far in this camp?
I put all three of those guys in that second year leap that you like to see from your players. They're all four down players, which is critical to our success as a football team. They've all made big steps in the opportunities on defense as far as playing multiple packages. You know, Hawkins clearly went out. He had the highest grade of the corners last night, so that was. That was exciting to see because it was an opportunity that he had earned, and with that he stepped up and performed. So, very happy with all three of those guys.
Mike, given how much you love quarterbacks, I'm sure you could have a 90-man roster. You'd love to have like six or seven you could develop all season long. But how tough is it? You really loved what Callahan did last year, and you're really excited about him, and I'm guessing you're excited about what Taysom's done. How hard is it not to be able to kind of hoard those guys, and at some point a decision's going to happen?
Well, it's the most important position in football. I mean, clearly, so I think we all feel that way, and in this group particularly, it's a great quarterback room. I mean, it really is. I mean, you feel like you say that time and time again. So, just tells you, for as good as we felt about a quarterback room in the past, it's gotten better. So, and it's a reflection of all four of those guys. So, yeah, it's. It's about creating opportunities, and frankly, that's how you call plays. I mean, you call some plays in there down the stretch that you probably wouldn't normally call in a game because you're trying to give these quarterbacks opportunities, and they've taken full advantage of it. So I thought Brett Hundley was excellent last night. Joe Callahan had a couple negatives that he'll learn from. He's trying to do a little bit too much. And Taysom was – I thought he played better this week than he did last week. So he's put together two weeks where he's made big plays, and particularly, last night were it factored in the outcome of the game.
How do you get a position that may have been weak or susceptible last year, like cornerback was, to a point of strength in what it looks like now when you have, multiple options and you have injuries? How does that transition happen?
I think clearly in talking specifically about our cornerback position, health has been the biggest improvement. And we still have a couple guys hurt right now. So when you have the ability to practice every day, go through the progression of what you're trying to accomplish, with Joe Witt, teaching the fundamentals in progression, getting the pre-snap looks, competing against our offense, particularly our quarterbacks, all those things, it's valuable work, and, it's work that you can't miss. So, the training environment that we're in and really – having guys healthy and the competition is thicker this year, and we will definitely benefit from that.
On Josh Hawkins, did you see this coming at all? Obviously, you had that one play against Detroit last year. You didn't really play him much after that. Was there at some point last year that you saw this coming, or was it an off-season growth?
I think the fact that Josh was on our 53-man roster last year tells you how we felt about him. I mean, he was a young player. Young players come on at different points in their rookie year. Whether they make a big mistake or not. So he really, if you look at last year, played very well on special teams, maybe not as far as his game opportunities, but, throughout the second half of the season, our special teams coaches were very high on him and fighting to get him up on a weekly basis. So The fact that he's taking that second-year step is no surprise to any of us.
Two more, please.
There were some times last year when the run game was going through its changes where you mentioned how having Aaron be the leading rusher was not necessarily ideal on a week-to-week basis. How do you view an exhibition game in which your two leading rushers are two quarterbacks? Is that a totally different scenario?
Well, I don't know that we can really compare preseason games to regular season game, and as far as comparable that you just threw out, I mean, we obviously had a situation last year where, you know, our depth of running back was depleted with the injuries to our starters and the transition of Ty Montgomery to running back. So, I would not pay a whole lot of attention to statistics, particularly production in preseason games, as far as comparable to the regular season.
One other thing about quarterbacks, is that when you have a young guy, whether it's Brett a couple of years ago or Joe last year or Taysom this year, is there a point where you go from seeing some plays that you like what you see to thinking, okay, we've got something here? Like, is there as a quarterback guy, is there a point where each of them kind of becomes more than just, hey, you know, he can do a couple nice things?
Well, I mean, they all can. I mean, they wouldn't be here. I mean, I'm going to act like I'm all disrespected. I have a hard time when people question the level of a professional football player because they're all good players, every single one of them. You don't get into the room. You're not part of a 90-man roster being a guy. I mean, it's ignorant. It's a wrong way to look at it. Some players are better than others, but in my view, and this is how I speak to them, you have good players. You have good players that have great moments, and you have great players. To me, I'd classify the NFL player in those three categories. So, and the difference between a good player that has great moments and a great player is great players make people around them better all the time. So every one of these quarterbacks that are in here in this specific position that we're talking about can play in the NFL. And if they couldn't, the responsibility of our personnel department would be to bring someone else in here that we can develop to get them to that point. So now are they in different levels? Absolutely. How long they've been here, what year they're in, what's their background, what school do they come from, all those things. So I always look at the opportunity to grow a quarterback, and at the end of the day, everybody views the position a little differently. Some people view offense a little differently. But the way the number one quarterback plays, there's a focus on emulation of that number one quarterback. And if you look at Aaron's time here, and even when Aaron played behind Brett, there's things in his mannerisms that he would reflect Brett. That's having a lead dog that does it the right way, and the two trying to be like him, everybody coaching to that. And what I'm looking for in Aaron Rodgers is for these three guys to try to emulate, his particular mannerisms, the techniques, and those types of things, because that's the way we play offense, and we play offense running everything through the quarterback position. So where one guy is as far as in front of the other, our goal is to have all four of them ready to play.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. You've had other guys.
I was just giving you an in-depth answer. I think you'd appreciate my answer. Yeah,
I
liked it too. Yeah.
It was great. I just wanted to be clear. You've had some guys who haven't cut it here and then were never heard from again, so.
Well, it happens. It's a competitive league. Yeah, but I mean, I think we got to be, let's be practical about this stuff too. I get what sells and the verbiage and the vocabulary that needs to be used sometimes that you feel it needs to be used, but that's not reflective of the men in our locker room.